afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Indie Business Radio Show for Monday, May the 14th. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale, the leader in natural personal care formulating and contract packaging for businesses small and large. Visit EssentialWholesale.com for more information. Well, happy Mother's Day. I know I'm a day late, but the show airs on Monday, and it just didn't seem right to start talking about Mother's Day on May the 7th, so I figured I would wait till the day after and hope that you guys had a great Mother's Day, had a wonderful time, lots of flowers, hugs, and kisses, and other wonderful things. I had a great time with my family. We are actually moving this week, so I spent the entire day packing boxes with a 3- and a 5-year-old, and I had a lot of fun because I decided to have a lot of fun. So I hope you guys had a great day. You know, there is so much information in the media these days about moms in business. Moms are starting businesses at a rapidly increasing pace, and of course, I don't know of any specific statistics from the government about moms in business, but I certainly know that they claim that women are starting businesses at twice the speed of the national average, which means twice as fast as everyone else. And I believe, because of my personal experiences, that women are starting businesses also with their families. And in a formal sense or an informal sense, everyone in the family joins in, because I always say, if mom is in business, then the whole family is in business. And today's show is going to focus on moms in business and families in business. And we've got a great suite of guests here to kick things off today. Melissa Tropiano Latour of MTL Communications spent several years in corporate America before deciding to start her own business. Actually, she's got more than one. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a second, but she has successfully managed several Fortune 500 accounts in the fashion and skincare industry, and today she owns MTL Communications, a full-service public relations firm located outside New York City. We've also got some other people on the show today to talk about being in business as a family. Amanda Jaron and her husband, Steve Jaron, are owners of different businesses, but they work together in the same office space. And they're going to tell us a little bit about what that's like. And our overall goal today is to inspire and encourage you as a woman or as a family member to start a business, take control of your destiny, and move things forward with the flexibility that you need to be providing the kind of parenting that you'd like to your kids. Welcome, Amanda, Steve, and Melissa to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I always like to start my show by giving my guests a little bit of information about my listeners. I'm sorry, giving my listeners a little bit of information from the guest about how they started their business. So, Melissa, I just want to start with you. Give us a little bit of a little bit of your journey from traditional corporate America to what you're doing right now.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. I had been in Manhattan working on, like I said, for Fortune 500 companies doing PR for several years, and then wanting to become a mother and looking around in the industry, realizing that the hours were not the best for being able to have the special time that you want with your children as they grow up. So once leaving corporate America, I did a couple of odd jobs here and there, and then some local businesses in my town, all women owners, asked me to do a presentation on public relations for them. And I actually gave them some tips in about an hour speech, giving them some tips on how they can promote their own businesses. And as I walked out the door, four of them hired me. So they'd rather hire me than do it themselves. And MTL Communications was born. And it's been fantastic ever since. I work with fantastic people, great companies, and the beauty of it all is that I've actually been successful at something that I knew was more than possible, even when I was in corporate America, that you can do something that you have passion for and still have time for your family. You can make it work if you want to make it work. So I'm really successful at that, and I'm very happy about it.
Well, I guess that would be a sign when you give a presentation and walk out the door and get new clients immediately.
Exactly.
And Melissa, you're married with children, right?
Correct. I'm married. I'll be 5 years married in June to David, and we have 2-year-old twins, Rocco and Venezia.
And you work from your home?
Correct.
Great. How about Stephen? Tell us a little bit about your business and how things work with sharing space with your wife, Amanda. How'd you get started doing that?
Well, I originally started my business. I'm actually a renovation contractor. Started in North Jersey 7 years ago, and we moved to Florida 3 years ago, and I basically moved the business here and restarted in Southwest Florida. Amanda and I share an office. She has a desk on one side of the room, and I have a desk on the opposite side. And we're kind of about as opposite as two office partners could be. She's, you know, really artistic and left brain, and she kind of spreads out her stuff and her jewelry and tools, and I'm kind of more organized and I guess a little more rigid as far as filing and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So it's kind of comical, really, whenever you look into the office at this point.
But and Amanda, you guys have kids too, so speaking of comedy, if they're ever in your office together, right?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of that question. This is Amanda.
Yeah, I was saying you and Stephen have children as well, so I was just thinking about the
well,
comedy that may fit in there.
We have 3-year-old twins, and the most comical part is, you know, my children becoming, you know, my son tells me he's going to be a designer, and then at the same time he's walking out to help daddy, you know, mow the lawn. So they see, you know, the housework and the business as sort of one thing. They don't really have a separation between the two. But the most comical part of it really is I joke that my toy poodle is my receptionist. You know, the toy poodle gets in the mix of it too, and I work a lot on the floor. So as I'm mixing my beads around, the dog is sort of mixing them up. And then the dog, you know, whenever the UPS man shows up, the dog hears them and he's barking, and it's quite a comedy of errors all day long, really.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned pets, because I don't want to leave pets out when we're talking about family businesses. Do join us, 800-773-0355. You may have some questions or comments for my guests today, who are talking about the joys and challenges of working together as a family unit in a family business, and basically generating income on their own terms. It's a very exciting way to make a living and certainly a fantastic and growing appealing option to alternative to traditional employment. Now, Melissa, when you started your business, did you have your children yet, or did you start it after?
Yes, my children were 1 year old when MTL Communications started.
Okay, so you are proof positive that this can be done. I know I talk with a lot of women who feel like, you know, they've already had kids and they just can't get their focus going. So tell us a little bit about how you did that. Did you have some help with your kids, and do you still?
Yeah, we actually have friends and family that definitely help us out. And I, as we all know, as mothers, we all have the mommy brain. And I felt that after the first year, the mommy brain got a little bit better, where you happen to remember things like you had forgotten them so easily during the first year of parenting. So I felt that once they turned one, I think it was time that I could possibly get a little bit more of myself back in terms of creating this business and being able to do, you know, having both my passions here, having, you know, the passion for the business that I've created with public relations, and then also the passion of motherhood, being able to spend time with my children. So we recruited some family members to come help us out. So this way, with a rigid schedule that I've put together, that knowing going in, of course, that 85% of the time it won't work out, but at least if you've put the schedule together, you feel a little bit better about it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know, in the morning, spending time with my children, whether we're at the park, whether we're watching like Italian DVDs or that type of thing, and then when they take their nap, and when in the afternoon when our family friend comes and helps me, that's when I really do my work. So then by 5 o'clock when daddy comes home, then the family unit kicks back in, and we can either play together and then start dinner, and the rest of the day continues. But I really feel strongly that we can have both. that was when I left corporate America. I tried to convince those guys that it was possible. They disagreed, and that's fine, but I truly believe that it can happen because every mother, you know, I feel that, you know, they want to have time with their children, but a lot of us really just want to keep a little bit of our old selves around, so we feel, you know, that it's not only mommy. We're women, too, and I feel that I'm a better mother because of that, and knock on wood, I think that I've been able to pull that off. You can ask my husband. I'm not sure if he knows, if he thinks I pulled it off, but I feel that my clients feel that I do a good job and I spend great time with my family, so it makes me happier, so I think it's working out great.
Well, Melissa, I'm sure your husband's very proud of you. If he was here, he would tell you so, particularly on the day after Mother's Day. But, Steve, you know, I'd like to ask you a little bit about that because certainly, you know, it is very prominent in the media today, the quandary, if you will, that moms are in terms of working or being at home and all the discussion about that. And I know my husband and I work together, and I'd just like to ask you, you know, as a dad, do you feel the same kind of, again, quandary, for lack of a better word, of wanting to be with your kids and also wanting to, you know, make a living on terms that allow you that kind of flexibility?
Yes. Yeah, I definitely do feel that, you know, especially at the age they're at right now, 2, 3 years old, that they're a lot of fun to be around. I mean, they really wear us out, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
And, you know, I really do like hanging out with them because they just, you know, you never know what's going to come out of their mouth, and there's always something new.
Right.
And so, yeah, it does give me, you know, as far as having my own company and working out of the home, it does give me some flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
With the kids, they do go to daycare for a couple hours of day, which mm-hmm. is a little bit of a break. And somehow, I found myself as a 3-year-old soccer coach this the past couple months, also. So that's been a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, they're at a great age, and it's a lot of fun, and I definitely enjoy being with them, you know, as much as possible.
Yeah, I love hearing about, you know, hearing about those stories. And we've got a caller. Dave is on the line. He wants to know more about your businesses and what role you, Steve, are playing in the whole thing. Let's talk a little bit about that. Dave, are you there?
Oh, hi.
Hi, Dave. Welcome to Indie Business Radio. What's your comment or question?
Well, first of all, I'd love to know a little bit more about the businesses, but also I really would like to know what kind of part the husbands play in their businesses as well.
Great. Thanks for your question. Steve, tell us a little bit more about the role you play, and then I would like for each of you to tell us a little bit more about your business.
The role I play in my wife's business?
Well, actually, both. I mean, obviously, you have a leadership and an ownership role in the remodeling business.
Yeah.
But in your wife's business as well, I'm sure you're there in the same office. I can imagine you make your share of trips to the post office, too.
Yeah, my business is called Renovate and Restore, and we specialize in primarily residential remodels and condo renovations and that kind of thing. So I work from the home, but I'm also outside of the home quite a bit, managing the projects and dealing with subcontractors and that type of thing. But as far as estimating and accounting, and, you know, the paperwork side of it, I do that from the house.
Mm-hmm.
But there's probably, you know, an equal or maybe greater amount of time that's spent out in the field. And then with my wife's business, she is not real big on math, so I tend to help her out with the math portion of her business, like accounting and taxes mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she's an excellent designer and has been for years, and that's really her her talent, and she really concentrates on that end of it.
Yeah, well, speaking of that design talent, we're going to take our first break and come back, and Amanda, I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. Tell us about that design talent and how you use it in your business, and then I want to talk with all three of you about, you know, how it is that you make these kinds of arrangements work. And Melissa, we definitely want to hear from you in terms of some tips on the PR front, because small businesses you know, we need to know how to maximize our relationships with the media so that we can get the word out. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio, our special segment on moms and families in business. We've got Melissa Latour of MTL Communications, and we've also got Amanda Jaron of Rocks to Buy Baby and Steve Jaron of Renovate and Restore. That's the husband and wife team, in case you couldn't figure that out. And we're talking about managing business as a family. And before we took our first break, Amanda was getting ready to tell us a little bit about her business and kind of some thoughts and tips and things on how she manages to juggle a set of three-year-old twins and a business.
Right. Well, we work 24/7. My kids seem to be up at 3 a.m. The day starts at 7 a.m. and doesn't end until midnight. So it seems to be a 24/7 operation. But, you know, we manage it. You know, I think the key piece of it is that you can't do it alone. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a husband that's here, and we're here together most of the time. But, you know, the reality for us has been that you really need to work to have a successful business on your business at least some portion of the day and at least concentrate on it every day. So we've opted not having family close by to have our kids in daycare part-time, which has worked really well for us and has balanced my kids' life and my life very well. But my business basically started in New York City when I was working corporately for a Fortune 500 company designing into a $300 million business, and realized one day while working that the phone rang all day long from 9 to 5 and that the majority of calls on that particular afternoon came in from personal clients and friends of friends asking me to do product that was for me and not for work. And I realized at some point there that had I had 5 minutes in the day to spend on my own personal business, I may possibly have a business. You know, the dilemma was for us really how do you go from making a corporate paycheck to having no money at all coming in and then having two more mouths to feed and all of that. You know, it was a huge challenge to overcome, but you know, the reality is it was not so easy in the beginning, but you know what, if you have a true passion for it and you have a business strategy and you have, you know, a product or an idea, if you work a little bit on it every day, somehow it all does, the pieces all sort of come together somehow, you know.
Well, Amanda, you raise a really interesting point, and I would imagine, and you can say from your own personal experience too, but I get a lot of feedback from people who would love to start their own business, but they're terrified of not getting a biweekly paycheck. And what you just described is what stops so many people from doing it. What is it in your life that sort of moved you from that fear or that you know, consciousness of things changing into actually doing it, considering the fact that you knew you were, you know, it wasn't just you, it was your husband and your kids too, and all these things need to work together. How did you adjust your mindset to be prepared for not knowing how much money you were going to have every week.
Right. Well, you know, I think one of the interesting things, first of all, is that, you know, you have to sort of start your business and really have a full-fledged game plan while you're still working, you know, collecting a paycheck. You really can't just stop one day and working and then decide, think about what I'm going to do and then think about how I'm going to do it. All of that has to really happen at your lunchtime. You know, I was really, really driven during lunch, and I commuted in from New Jersey to Manhattan on the train. So in the morning I thought about it, and in the afternoon on the way home I thought about it. And, you know, it wasn't until I started to realize that I was getting calls, and I seemed to have a clientele, and I thought, you know, with a little bit of savings and also the game plan in terms of how to work, really manage your business in terms of financial strategy. How do I do a little bit at a time? You know, I think, you know, I still work out of the house. I didn't go and rent a $3,000, you know, storefront, and I didn't spend $10,000 on store fixtures. I'm still working out of the house, and when a client calls to come to my studio, I still need to explain to them that my studio is still my dining room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's baby steps, and of course my dream is to have a studio eventually out of the house, and to really have a beautiful place that people can come to that is, you know, a separate space. But it really is taking baby steps and really building it while you're still working.
Well, that's a whole lot of nuggets of rich information in what you just described, in terms of starting before your family came along as opposed to after. But even for people who haven't done that, you know, it still can be done. So thank you for sharing so frankly, you know, from your experiences. Yeah. Melissa, how about you? When you know, you started your business, and then, I mean, my goodness, one baby is enough. But two, I mean, and maybe it's a little bit different, and you can tell me, you know, you're not... You provide services as opposed to actually selling products, which Amanda does with her Rocks to Buy Baby. Does that make a difference? Do you think that makes it any easier? Or
I don't know if it necessarily makes it any different, because obviously in the media world, it's always a rush job. You know, every time you're on the phone with an editor or something like that, they needed it yesterday or in an hour. So it's, and you're constantly, especially with email now, you're constantly on the phone during the day, you're constantly on email at night. So I don't necessarily know. I think that it probably is just as much as crazy as it is. And I think that, especially for me, but I feel that it's very important for anyone who's considering starting their own business, that having your family support is the most important thing. You know, I have my husband sitting here saying to me, well, of course you can do it. Why couldn't you do it? And that's always what the attitude that he's had, which has been fantastic. And if he didn't have that, you know, that definitely, you know, all that fear that you've got about taking that step, you know, that it'll be even scarier, because you know you don't have anybody behind you cheering you on. And so, you know, having your family supporting you, and then even also having people, you know, other colleagues supporting you in the sense that, you know, when you are working on your own, where in corporate America, if you're strategizing and those types of things, you've got a partner there to talk to, you know, now it's all on you, and you have to come up with the great ideas. But it's also great to, you know, form a bond with other business owners, you know, whether they be moms or women or whomever, but small business owners that you can get together with and say, hey, you know, I'm a designer and I don't want to work on invoices. What should I do? That type of thing. And having those conversations and being in a room with other people that have done it, that are doing it, A, it's an example that, hey, anything can happen. These people are doing it. I can do it too. And B, you feel, again, that little security blanket, that net underneath there that, well, these guys understand what I'm going through and my husband understands what I'm going through, so I can always go back on them and get some answers and get some support. Because without that, I don't think that fear will take over. Mm-hmm. So I think that's absolutely important. And then obviously with the children, you know, one or two, you know, I started off with two. I don't know any difference. So you just jump into it, I guess. That was a blessing.
That probably does make a difference. Amanda, you talked about strategizing. Tell me, did you have a business plan before you started Rocks to Buy Baby?
Well, I think it goes back to, you know, I have a bachelor in fine arts and I'm an artist. And, you know, I do what I do because I have a passion for art and jewelry. And I didn't really ever think about what I did as a business exactly. I just did it because I loved it. And when I married my husband, they say opposites attract. My husband has an MBA. So, you know, he sort of opened my eyes to, you know, having a strategy and thinking about things from A to Z instead of thinking about them from Z to A, you know. And I really feel that Stephen and I have a really good balance in terms of, you know, really true opposites. I mean, we've had so many people tell us that, you know, we would never have put you two together, you know. And I think, you know, we really complement each other in so many ways. And, you know, kind of going back to one of the questions you had before, which was how do we, you know, sort of coexist in the same space? And I think we've sort of almost, although we're doing very different things, our businesses have somehow sort of almost morphed into one in a lot of ways. And his clients have become my clients, and my clients have become his clients. And, you know, they talk to us sort of on a consulting basis for different strategies for the same problem, you know. So it's really kind of having the two types of people in the same space has really kind of made our businesses stronger because we do have such different perspectives on the same issue.
And Steve, what's your take on how that strength has impacted the family? You know, I just, you know, it's just interesting to hear your wife talk about her talents and gifts that she brings to the table and the talents and gifts that you bring to the table and how they help your business. Do you find that they also help you guys as a family unit? I know you can't really look at that totally separate and apart from the business, but just in terms of the strength of the relationship, do you think it helps to be in a position where you're working financially as well as other kinds of ways to, you know, complete each other?
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah, financially, sure, definitely. You know, it's difficult starting and kind of restarting a business since we moved here to Florida. But yeah, I think you know, starting a business is difficult anywhere. But I think that, you know, it definitely, there are certain skills and talents that Amanda has that I don't have. She's a much better marketer than I am. And then there's other things that I can do that are just, you know, as far as accounting or taxes and that type of thing, that are, you know, kind of intuitive for me. And so, yeah, we definitely complement each other in that respect. You know, it can be a little difficult sharing an office with two opposites, but it's fun. You know, we have a lot of fun. And the kids, I think they, you know, they probably don't know that other parents don't necessarily work out of the home, so you know, they always we spend a lot of time in that back office, so they're of course always wanting to gravitate towards the office also. Mm-hmm. So,
but you know, it's just fun, interesting that you talk about that. I know, you know, our family changed when my husband and I started working together. I mean, of course, if you're married, you're going to be working together in many different capacities. But I mean, working together in a business. And you know, I have just noticed that, you know, the relationship takes on a little bit of a different tenor, too, and how much fun it is. For example, I remember when we were both working, you know, traditional jobs outside the home, and then one of us was and the other one wasn't. And now that we're together, at least physically, there have been some enhancements sort of overall. Like, it's easier to juggle the kids, and it's easier to, you know, take a break if you know the other person's been there, and it's easier for them to, you know, not take a break because they know in an hour they're going to get a break. And I just find that not having some of the rush hour concerns that we used to have helped. Have you found the same thing?
I would say that for me as a mother, that is huge because
yeah.
I can just get up from my desk and start dinner, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, before we moved to Florida, commuting, I spent an hour and a half in each direction commuting, and, you know, I was fortunate enough to use that time, you know, strategizing about my business, really, thinking about what I was going to do in the next part of my life. But I feel like I lost 3 hours of my life every day, you know, that I wouldn't have had with my children if I were still commuting. So for me, it's great to know that all we have to do is get up from our desk and make dinner, you know, and then start.
Yeah, it does make a big difference. I was reading, I think it was U.S. World and News Report, the cover story from a few weeks ago was all about commutes in America's major cities and how you know, the growth of cities and the growth of the job market and things of that nature have just befuddled so many city planners in terms of, you know, planning the roads or planning the next upgrade to the subway system. It's just an, you know, and how stress levels go through the roof when they monitor people sitting in rush hour traffic and how their stress levels go up and more incidences of depression and just all that kind of stuff. Just thinking about our society today and how much of that goes on and what an attractive alternative this is for people to consider, because we all have so many different talents and gifts that we can use that way.
And, you know, I'll say the other thing that's been great for our marriage and for us is that when we made the decision to stop working corporately, we also looked at where we were living, and we were living 20 miles outside of Manhattan in a gorgeous commuting, you know, a bedroom community, and we looked at each other and said, well, why do we live where we live? This is not where we grew up. We weren't raised in this town. Why do we live here? And we lived here because Manhattan was the source for my income. And when I decided not to do that, we sort of looked at ourselves as people and said, well, where do we want to live? What do we like about life? And, you know, we made the choice to, you know, kind of totally start our lives over, and we chose to move to Naples, Florida, thinking that this, you know, seeking paradise on earth. And for us, as far as our relationship, you know, as a married couple, it has definitely been revitalized because we love where we live. We love getting up every day and seeing the palm trees and the sunshine. And I think that that's something that people should consider when restarting, you know, starting to rethink their lives. You know, most people live where they live because they were born there, but isn't
necessary. Or because they work there.
Or because they work there,
So that's a really great point. When we take our break here in a second, we're going to just break for a minute and come back and talk a little bit more about that. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We've got some great shows coming up here over the next couple of weeks. Next week on May 21st, Kelly Spiewak of the Arts Institute will be here, and she's going to share with us information about bedrooms as the new home office. And how appropriate is that, considering we're talking about family businesses today? Kelly says that bedrooms are the new home office, and we're going to talk to her about why that is and also get some tips on how we can organize our bedrooms to accommodate a home office without interfering too much with other things that go on in the bedroom, like rest and relaxation and other stuff. On May 28th, Christine Louise Holbaum will be here. She is the author's companion. If you're interested in getting some publicity for a book or interested in getting some help on a book that you want to pitch to some publishing houses or even publish yourself, the author's companion, Christine Louise Holbaum, will be here to talk with us about that. So I hope you'll join us for those two shows, and, of course, I've got other great stuff coming up in the future. Amanda, we talked a little bit earlier about your Rocks to Buy Baby, your product, landing on the Home Shopping Network. Tell us a little bit about how that happened and maybe a tip or two for those of us who might want to get our products on a home shopping show.
Well, I think the key piece for me was having the corporate experience prior to leaving. Now, I know not everybody starting a business has that, but I the one thing I would share with everyone is that corporate America is looking for the next big thing just as much as you want to be the next big thing. And I think the key piece for my business and for me, clearly Melissa is a huge piece of my business in terms of the success and the promotion of me. But the other piece of it is just really having the strength within yourself to say, you know what, I am good enough to do this, and I am talented enough, and I can do it. And actually just reaching out to the corporate entity that you think, you know, for me it's a retail establishment, but for many people it's just about feeling like you can do it, and just making, you know, you may be nervous to do it, but just do it, and you'll be surprised at the reaction that you know, the openness that the corporate America does have to hearing your story. And I just called them and got the name of the person to speak to, and she answered my voicemail, and I made an appointment and showed her my merchandise, and the next thing you knew, I was on live national television with my jewelry.
And Melissa and Amanda, you didn't have like a personal contact there first?
No, I didn't. I just
Listen up, you guys.
Yeah, no.
Right? Sometimes it's just a matter of showing up.
Yeah, no, it really is just a matter of having the self-confidence. And even if you're not confident enough, just having the guts to make the phone call, because you will just really be surprised that they want to find the next big thing. Who knows if you're the next Martha Stewart, you know? Everybody needs somebody, you know, to drive their business.
Got to start somewhere, and we can all pretend confidence for an hour, right?
Right, exactly.
So, Melissa, speaking of that, you know, pretending that you're confident, or at least, I shouldn't say pretending, but...
No, she is.
Well, sometimes it is, I mean, but, you know, as small business owners, whatever you call it, it is scary to kind of reach out there sometimes and try and say, you know, my products are worth your time, and obviously you got to do that when you're reaching out to the media. Can you offer some tips based on your professional experience as a publicist for how small businesses can do that on their own?
Absolutely. Obviously, I've worked with plenty of small businesses in my career, now at MTL Communications and even prior to that. And what I find is that immediately people want to spend money on advertising, which is a lot more expensive than public relations. So, you know, educating small businesses that it might be worthy of either finding a boutique-sized PR company like myself and pay them the money to contact the media versus putting all of your savings into one ad for Martha Stewart for 1 month that's only targeting one particular group. So the beauty of a PR agency, or even if you have to do it internally, is that you need to contact the media on a consistent basis. And I like to say it being consistent without being annoying. So as a small business person, I think the number one tip is to really figure out who your audience is and target that particular market. For example, Rocks to Buy Babies, you know, Amanda's jewelry for mothers, grandmothers, and children. So clearly the media that she's looking for are parenting magazines, some lifestyle magazines. We've got, you know, she's sent out some stuff to celebrities, so even those types of magazines as well. And because it's a full-time job, as I know, making these phone calls, making these connections, if you are a small business and have to do it on your own, you really need to focus. So create a targeted list, maybe 10 magazines that you would love to be in. Then you call the magazine. Again, it's another situation where you buy the magazine, you look at the masthead, which is the sheet that indicates all the editors' names, and contact that person. If you're looking, you know, if you're an accessories company, you contact the accessories editor, send them pictures, send them information. But again, it can't be something that can happen once and then fall to the wayside. Mm-hmm. You are clearly not the only person making this phone call. That editor is getting inundated by phone calls every day from advertisers and also the indie brands like ourselves. And it is the unspoken rule that, you know, these editors do have to make comments about their advertisers in their editorial pieces on a regular basis. So if they're going to mention three products, two of them are going to be advertisers, and that third one is the indie brand. So now it's you and everybody else just trying to get in there. So it has to be persistent. You have to be consistent. You have to be persistent without being annoying, and constantly calling them, just, you know, picking up the phone, you know, introducing your jewelry line, wondering what stories you're working on, you know, let me send you my new collection. Just coming up with a different reason. It's Mother's Day. It's Valentine's Day. It's, you know, I don't know, be good to your pet day, so why not give them a beautiful diamond-encrusted collar, you know, that type of thing, being a little creative in order to get through the door. But finding that targeted list and making that part of your job, that is part of your daily thing. Amanda needs to design every day, and she needs to make these phone calls every day. Or you hire me, and then I make the phone calls for you. But that really is the huge part, is doing that and being consistent about it. And then obviously, in the media today, the big thing is the celebrity connection, getting that name. You know, magazines like InStyle magazine will mention your product, but again, it's an unspoken rule that you need to have a celebrity connection. So obviously, InStyle is a huge magazine. Anybody would want to get their products in there. So now how do I get a celebrity connection? Well, there are companies out there that do little baskets for Mother's Day and hand them out to celebrity moms, or go backstage to the Oscars. And I'm sure every small business has even gotten that email and say from some PR agency saying, oh, we can get you backstage, but for a phenomenal cost. There's a company out in California called LilEwes.com, and it's LilEwes.com. And what she's done for small businesses, and I've helped her do that as well, is that gathering all the small businesses that want to be backstage at the Oscars, want to get some stuff out to the moms, the celebrity moms, in order to get some feedback, gathering several of them, putting them together in a basket. So now you've got 15 people divvying up the cost versus you trying to get back there on your own, which for small business is, you know, is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So, and with that, you know, you put little comment cards in. Sometimes the celebrities will write how wonderful the product was, thank you so much. And then now you have some ammunition. You call InStyle. You call InTouch. By the way, I don't know, Kelly Ripa received my Rocks to Buy Baby jewelry, and she loved it, and she wears it all the time kind of thing. So this is another way to get in there. But again, it's really just targeting your market, get a target market, get the magazines that you want, find out who the contact information is, and then being in constant contact, whether it be email, phone, or hard copy mail, just so you can continuously generate, well, in the beginning, generating the buzz about your brand, and then continuously keeping your name top of mind to those editors. Because, you know, as we all know, in every business, timing is everything. You know, if you just happen to be right in front of their face in an email as their editor is banging on the door looking for something new and exciting to write about, that could be your lucky day. And with PR, doing that kind of stuff, even if you do go to a boutique-sized PR agency, you know, those companies like mine, now you're spending money for people to be contacting over 100 or plus magazines on a consistent basis, generating that buzz for you, versus putting your money into advertising where you're just targeting one magazine for 1 month. And the amount of money that you're spending there could be utilized at a boutique PR agency for probably 2 years. So I'm always a big fan. I feel that small businesses definitely need to utilize public relations, not only for budget, but, you know, definitely generates a buzz and generates sales for them, which is what they need. And
a company, Melissa, that's looking for their first media hit, and they really they're doing a lot of things themselves, at least to start, and they're just looking for their first media hit. Would you say that a lot of times it's right there in their own backyard with local publications?
Oh, most definitely. I definitely feel that the local market, because you've got two angles there. You've got the brand new product as or service, plus you are the local company. Uh-huh. So you've got two angles for you to get through the front door. And that absolutely is a fantastic idea because, again, for small businesses, it doesn't, you know, you obviously want to have your name in print, but for us, we need to generate sales from that. You know, big corporations, yeah, they can be in Allure, they can be in InStyle, that's wonderful, my name's there. But we need the name plus to generate some sales. And people, you know, even if you pick up and move, you're always loyal to your hometown. So even if someone sees that, they're going to want it, they're going to go on their website, they're going to check out the product, they're going to want to support their local person. So definitely contacting, you know, there's higher newspapers, like in New Jersey, there's the Star Ledger, so you've got bigger newspapers, as well as local newspapers. And then even within your own state, there's typically regional magazines that will only discuss companies within that state. Those are great, great ways to start out. And plus, you know, I think they're a little bit less intimidating when you're not, when you're not working at the media. People tend to think, wow, I got to call InStyle magazine or I have to call Vogue, ooh. But, you know, they're people too, and they're just they're fine, and they'll be able to respond to you. And I think that if you're just going to jump in for the first time, it might be good to go locally, to get yourself warmed up before you start hitting the Manhattan girls.
Well, right. Well, it certainly does help. And as you talked about, small business owners, us indies, we need to be able to translate those media features into dollars. And
absolutely. Taking those placements and even utilizing them as sales tools, whether you have a product that you can bring to a retail store for them to purchase wholesale, that's perfect. You can go to even, you know, nationwide, you can be calling, calling on a retail store, promoting your business and saying to them, look, we're doing press on our own. So if you purchase wholesale and we happen to be contacting a local newspaper, magazine or what have you in your area, what we'll do is we'll promote our product, and as a resource on where to find, that where to find section, we'll put in your store. So now you're pretty much offering them up free PR for their store and at the same time getting them to purchase your product. So it's definitely a sales tool for small businesses by far.
Yeah, that's such a great point, and just continues to work for you over and over again.
Absolutely.
Melissa, tell us a little bit about how we can get in touch with you and learn more about your services.
Sure, you can reach me, you can log on to www.masinmary.com, and you can see some of the press that I've gotten for some local people as well, some national press as well, and you can reach me via email at melissa@mtlcommunications.com.
And you're featured on the front cover of Working Mother magazine this month, is that right?
Yes, I am. Me and my son are on the cover of the May issue of Working Mother, but then don't forget to look inside for the article so you can see my adorable daughter as well.
Okay. Congratulations. That's
Thank
great.
Thank you very much.
So you obviously know how it's done. You can contact Melissa if you want some more information about her services. Steve, tell us how we can get in touch with you if we need some remodeling.
My website is www.renovateandrestore.com.
And where are you again for our listeners so they know?
Naples, Florida,
Southwest Florida.
The phone number is area code 239-254-1002. And my email is info@renovateandrestore.com.
And Steve, is your main focus commercial, residential, or both?
I do both, but primarily residential.
Okay, great. And Amanda, I want to hear about those rocks to buy baby, because I need some rocks.
Well, it's been fun. It was definitely, it branched off from pieces that I made for myself, and we have new moms to grannies. We call them glammas, G-L-A-M-M-A, glammas, and we're selling those charms like hotcakes. There's a lot of hot grannies out there these days. But
and you're at rockstobuybaby.com, is that right?
It's rocks, rockstobuybaby, rocks to buy baby.
I love that use of the rhyming from the nursery rhyme, rocks to buy baby. That's really great. Well, I'm so excited that you guys joined us today to share your experience about being in business as moms and as families. This has been a great help and encouragement, I know, to my listeners, and I just really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us, Melissa Latour, Stephen Jaron, and Amanda Jaron. Really great to have you guys.
We're going to close out today
on Indie Business Radio. I hope you'll come back and join us next week for another great show, and visit IndieBusinessConference.com to learn how you can join me and several other experts to help your business grow and grow. That's what we're about. In the meantime, enjoy your week.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.